Yeah, how many of you were not here last night? Just raise your hand if you weren't here last night. Okay, so last night I had been giving kind of instructions and the practice of, I'm going to use some parts of that of practicing sitting position as well as standing position, and also doing walking meditation and alternating, or trying to learn how to develop mindfulness in all of the postures and activities that one is doing. And the basic understanding, the definition of mindfulness is to remember. But it means remembering the present moment, not remembering facts and figures, although that is a kind of a part of it too. Practicing mindfulness improves your memory, or can improve your memory, unless perhaps you're already over 60 or 70. But basically it means to remember the present moment, and especially in terms of the body. The body is the starting point. The body is our real home. That's where we live. And that's where we experience the world. The world flows through our senses. This body has the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, the skin, the five physical senses, and there's continually stimulation coming through the senses. And basically our life revolves around and is dominated by and determined by whatever is coming through our senses at any one particular moment. And it affects the mind. And the mind gets attracted to or involved or disturbed by the various stimulations coming through the body and mind. And so basically it's really our whole life. And that's why it's so important to learn how to be aware and pay attention to what is coming through our body and mind at each moment, so that we can learn to understand it and to hopefully deal with the various types of situations, circumstances, and sensory impingements that are constantly coming through us and that affect us in so many ways. And so we need to develop mindfulness is the ability to be grounded and present in the present moment, from moment to moment, and in touch with what is coming through your body and mind. It's basically it's kind of a self-observation technique, a technique of self-observation. Because there's two aspects of the mind. One is our, what we call the ego-driven mind, or the conditioned mind, in which you have the sense of, I am here, and this is me, and I'm doing things, and there's things happening around. So it's the ordinary mind, or conditioned mind. But at the same time, that mind actually is occurring within a larger mind, you might say, or awareness, which is unconditioned, which is the backdrop of reality. But normally we don't know anything about that, because we're caught by just the ego consciousness. So in the process of self-observation, It's a way of getting in touch with a kind of a separate awareness that's there simultaneously within the or larger than the conditioned mind. But anyway, it's the ability that we can observe ourselves while we're doing things. Just like a computer monitors itself while it's doing activities, there's part of the computer that's monitoring what is happening and being able to troubleshoot and correct problems even while the computer is operating. So the mind is similar to that. Mind is even greater than more powerful than a computer, because computers basically were made by a human mind. So anyway, when I get review some of the basic practices of the meditation, so we can begin our session of practicing mindfulness this morning. And then later on in the afternoon session, I'll be giving a longer Dhamma talk and some more practice. So the practice of mindfulness starts with, you know, the body and being aware of what the body is doing here and now, or in the present moment. So right now, your body is sitting on the floor or in the chair. So it's sitting, right? So just simply remember that. Yes, sitting, 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 sitting. Ability to kind of just observe the body sitting there, or feel it sitting. Feel the posture. And so in a sense, that's the very basic and simplest form of mindfulness, is remembering the present moment. But you'll find that it's very difficult because there's so many thoughts coming through the mind. So that's why we have to also have an object of concentration. Have a certain object that we can try to focus our attention on. And in this practice, that object is normally the breathing. The breathing is a process that's continually going on all the time in the body. And usually it's just automatic. You don't have to think about breathing. It's simply going on. And to place one's attention on it, to feel and to know when the breath is coming in and to know when the breath is going out, that is the kind of the normal starting point for developing concentration. And there's different ways you can focus on the breathing. So, sometimes the instructions are to see if you can feel the touch of the air as it's going through the nostrils as you're breathing in and out. But normally the eyes are closed. One could keep them open. But just to feel the subtle touch of air as it's going in and out of the nostrils. But that's not very easy. But if a person can do that, that can become a very good point of concentration. The alternative, which is probably more easy and practical for a lot of people, is to feel the sensation of the expanding and contracting of the abdomen or the rib cage in the center part of the body. So as you're just sitting there, you feel that as the breath is coming in, you feel some kind of expansion in the abdomen, the rib cage, depending on how long the breath is. You might feel a couple sensations in the abdomen and the rib cage, or even the chest, and then the contraction. And so you kind of just listen and try to feel the subtle sensations that are occurring there. And most of the sensations will be actually like the touch of the clothing against your stomach or the rib cage or the chest. You'll feel those subtle, rubbing of the clothing against the skin as it expands and contracts. So those are good points to keep your attention focused on, so that the mind is staying and has something to feel. If the mind doesn't have something to easily feel, it's out of there. You know, it'll get easily distracted, lost in the past or future, or just distracted by whatever might be occurring. So you need something that's tangible, something that's easily noticeable. So that's why for beginners, I don't encourage them to try to feel the sensation here, because it's not strong enough to hold the attention of our distracted mind. So by using the sensations occurring during the breathing process, in the middle of the body, it hopefully will help you to stay more focused. And so the idea is you try to remember when the breath is coming in and when the breath is going out. And then in between the breaths, to remember that the body is sitting. Because if you give the mind even one nanosecond of idle time, it'll take advantage of that and get run out to the past or future. Or it may start to go to sleep. So in between the in-breaths and out-breaths, just to remember and feel the posture that one is sitting. So the idea of just continually remembering, breathing in, sitting, breathing out, sitting, breathing in, sitting, breathing out, sitting. That is the basic continuous present moment of the body. So that kind of becomes one's a home base, because basically the mind is operating through this breathing body. And even while the body is sitting and breathing, many things are happening. You have some pains or irritating sensations on the body, sounds are happening, trying to pull the mind away from this, what we call primary object of concentration or attention is the breathing body. Now, if the breathing is not enough to hold the attention, the body itself also is an equally good object. And so, like, you can pick several contact points, such as where the buttocks are pressing the cushion. That's a very solid kind of feeling. Where the feet are crossed underneath, or if you're sitting in a chair where they're touching the floor, or where your hands are touching, whether you have them like this or you have them like this, and the straightness of the back and the head. So you can let the attention just float from those four or five different points, staying for just a few seconds, just feeling the buttocks, the feet, the hands, the straight back or the head, and just basically to remember that you're sitting. So you can make the sitting posture itself your primary object, or you can make the breathing more the primary object. It depends on you. Whichever helps you not to get lost in your thoughts, that's the main point. In the beginning, we just need something to come to, a tethering post, to come back to whenever the mind gets distracted. Or you can make both the posture and the breathing your object. Because we're not trying to pin the mind down to one tiny point. That's sometimes the idea of concentration, just pin your mind on one tiny point. But for most people, that's very difficult. And for mindfulness, it's really not that necessary. what we're cultivating is a kind of floating concentration, called floating concentration or momentary concentration. But it's still a concentration, because you're keeping it within the framework of the sitting body. So if you feel one sensation here and a sensation here, a sensation here, it's still concentrated within the body. That means it's not going out to the past or future, getting lost in your thoughts. And that is how we cultivate both alertness and concentration. These are two qualities of the meditation, along with wisdom, but we'll talk about that later. But and there's three main obstacles to meditate that are trying to pull us away from the present moment. And that is pain, physical pain, sleepiness, and your incessant thoughts, what we call monkey mind. And so basically for most people, their meditation is just battling against these hindrances or trying to deal with them in some way so that the mind can stay on track. That means to remain in the present moment and to develop one's concentration. And so the physical pain, because for those of you sitting on the ground or even sitting in the chair, it's natural the body is always going to get pains and discomforts, especially sitting in this cross-legged position. But pain is an integral part of the meditation. And it's better to have pain than to be too comfortable and go to sleep. At least pain helps you keep awake. Sleepiness and drowsiness is the worst of all those types of hindrances. Because when you start to get sleepy and drowsy, everything just stops dead in its tracks. There's no forward momentum. But at least with pains, it keeps you awake. And you can learn to relax around pain. You can learn to kind of skillfully deal with it or relax around it and see how it changes and actually make it an object of your contemplation. But with sleepiness, everything just stops. And the biggest contributor to sleepiness is a bad posture. That's why keeping the back straight is important in meditation, especially in sitting meditation, but also in other forms. Because the meditation happens through the nervous system. And all the nerves of the body are located along the spine, the major nerve ways from which the other nerves branch off. And so if we're slouching, then those nerve ways get impeded. And the nervous stimulations, neurons and so on, get slowed down. That means our mind, it's not very alert and bright. And the process of sleep ensues. Or if you're not sleeping, the mind will just be lost in its daydreams or caught up in various thoughts. So keeping the back straight is very important for maintaining alertness. And there's three points of the spine to pay attention to. One is the inward curve of the lower spine. The lower spine has a natural inward curve to it. And it's there because it helps to support the upper body. Half our body weight is, from here up. And especially the head is very heavy. And so we lose the inward arch and we let the spine bulge outwards, like when you start to slouch. There's nothing to support all that weight, and gravity just keeps kind of pulling the body down, and then you get all kind of aches and pains in various places. So whenever you notice yourself slouching, you can take a deep breath and straighten back up. And try to straighten back up the spine and the head. Ideally, the back of the head and the spine should be in a straight line, so that if you placed a stick against your back of your head and spine down to the pelvic bone, pelvic girdle, it would be in a vertical line. But most of us never sit straight. A whole life we've always been slouching. You drive your car, you're slouching. On your computer, you're slouching. Eating, you're slouching. So the spine of most people have been fused in a, kind of a perpetual curve. So when you try to straighten it, initially there's going to be some pain, but that pain is going to be a good kind of pain. Once you strengthen the muscles of the back and the spine, then you'll be able to sit for longer periods and maintain more alertness and better concentration. So the inward curve of the lower spine, that's one thing. And the second is keeping kind of the shoulders back. You don't want to kind of hunch the shoulders forward, because that will again cause you to slouch. When the shoulders are kept back a bit, that extra weight further back helps to maintain the body in a straight line. But you don't want to do it rigidly, like, you know, over exaggerate. It's just kind of natural, but to feel an openness in the upper chest also, rather than this kind of contracted state. It's more open. That way also the breath can come in more fully and deeply, and even to bring air into the upper part of the lungs, which gives a kind of a nice feeling of openness, and also helps to improve circulation of the blood to your brain, which helps to be more awake. And then the third part is the chin, to keep the chin up level with the ground. Because we have this big jawbone, it weighs a lot. But you're balancing it only on a small neck vertebrae, you know, way back in here. So that gravity grabs that chin and starts pulling it down. And because we don't normally have strong neck muscles, we can't keep it up. And so and as soon as the chin starts coming down, that pulls the shoulders forward and gradually causes this kind of process. Whenever you notice that happening, you take a deep breath. It's like blowing up a balloon. You blow the body back up by breathing in through the nostrils. Rechecking those three points, lower spine, shoulders back, the chin up, and then return to your, you know, breathing in, sitting, breathing out, sitting, breathing in, sitting, breathing out, sitting. So, learning to continually check the posture is a very good habit to cultivate, especially beginners, because that's the biggest problem. It's the posture that prevents people from going deeper into meditation. You might get some mediocre pleasant feelings and some, you know, mediocre type of concentration and so on, not sitting perfectly straight, but you're going to hit a dead wall. You're going to hit an invisible barrier, and probably won't go deeper than that. So when you straighten up, it's almost like you can feel an energy going up through the brain, and immediately the consciousness becomes more awake. And that's what we want. We want an awake state of mind so that you can concentrate. And so this is how mindfulness and concentration work together, and how we balance them. That concentration is the ability to keep your mind remembering, breathing in, breathing out, to keep it focused on your object of concentration. But the alertness is aware of distractions. Like I mentioned last night, it's sort of like the watchdog. When you start to slouch, the dog starts barking, woof, woof. You're starting to slouch. Oh, yes, okay. Then you breathe in, and you straighten back up. Or you start to get lost in the mind, start thinking about anger, about somebody from the past. And the mindfulness, woof, woof, you're getting lost in thought. Oh, yes, okay. Let that go. Come back to the breathing in and breathing out. So that's how the mindfulness helps the concentration. Without mindfulness, you won't be able to keep the mind focused because of the various distractions that are constantly trying to pull your mind away from the present moment. You hear a sound and you're starting to think about the sound. Some ambulance goes down the street, you know, and you start thinking, oh, you know, somebody died or whatever. And so you have to know, hearing. It's just hearing. You let go of the sound. You don't let the mind chase it or create stories out of it. It's just hearing. And you come back, stay focused on the present moment of the breathing body, or the breath. So that is how the mindfulness is the most important. When you develop your mindfulness, then you automatically become concentrated. But if you try to concentrate without being alert, then you're going to fall into all kinds of various traps. And one of them I mentioned last night is about, somebody asked a question about spacing out. Because when you begin to, you know, kind of concentrate your mind and getting more focused, and the mind starts to become a little bit more quiet, it's really easy to space out, and you lose your alertness, and the mind is just, it's not sleeping, but it's kind of just hanging out in some fuzzy feel-good state. But that also is a dead end, and so you have to kind of get out of that fuzzy, spaced-out state by feeling more of the body, becoming more alert by remembering that you're sitting, breathing and feeling various sensations. So again, that is the sort of the basic practice of mindfulness, is remembering what is happening or occurring from moment to moment. And to be able to observe the body, but also to be aware of the thoughts in the minds. When you start thinking, to recognize it. And we don't want to necessarily observe all of our thoughts in the beginning, because that would be quite distracting for most people, but still we have to be alert for it. So whenever a thought comes into the mind or starts to overtake the mind, you have to be alert and just make a note of thinking, to know that you're starting to think. We all think a lot, but we don't know that we're thinking because we're lost up into the content of the thought. But with awareness, you can actually be aware that you're thinking. You can be thinking, but at the same time, you can know that you're thinking. And when you know that you're thinking, the thoughts don't dominate your mind, and they kind of peter out and just disappear. And so basically that's what we're trying to do. It's a distillation process. We're trying to distill out the awareness from the objects of the awareness, from the content of awareness. Because as I mentioned before, this mind has two dimensions, the active mind and the passive mind, or the conditioned mind and the space of awareness. But for most people, they're fused in. We don't know anything about awareness. So the technique of just observing helps to distill out. Gradually, it distills out this sense of awareness by just remembering sitting, breathing, this kind of sense of just observing the body sitting and breathing starts to develop. When a fly lands on the nose or something, you can just, you know, feel those sensations with that same kind of detachment. And you can just observe how, you know, some sensations arise, some sounds arise, but there's not so much, you're not getting lost into them, because gradually there's a kind of a sense of just the observing. So it disconnects the reactive mind. Basically, in developing awareness, you short-circuit the hardwired nervous system. And you kind of step out of it a bit, and you could observe the impulses and thoughts and stimulations, but without the triggering off automatic reactions. And that is the beginning. That's the beginning of the process of transformation. That's how we learn to be able to recondition our conditioned mind and to become more free of a lot of the automatic neurotic and unskillful types of stressful actions or reactions that we do. So one of the best trainings in the meditation, while you're meditating, you know, maybe a fly will come around and start buzzing around your head. or land on you, and you can immediately see your reaction of aversion. But you train yourself not to scratch, or if an itch arises, just observe the itch or the unpleasant feeling, and just tell yourself, oh, unpleasant feeling, but it's not that bad, and you just try to observe it, how it lasts a few seconds, or builds up to a peak, it changes, or the fly goes away, and it's gone. But you've endured it without reacting with aversion, such as, or some other thing that disturbs your process of concentration. Every time you move to scratch or itch, you disturb whatever tranquility is starting to occur within the nervous system. And so watching these unpleasant sensations is a very powerful way, especially to cultivate this self-observation or awareness, just being able to observe the various pains, unpleasant sensations, and things that are occurring without causing them you to get overly disturbed. So that's what we want to practice this morning. We're going to work with that. Does anybody have any questions so far, just about any, especially anyone who didn't come last, weren't here last night? Any questions, you can raise your hand about this, the basic technique. Ignore it. No, if the pain is not disturbing your concentration, then don't worry about it, just let it be. It's the pains that are starting to grab your mind. And you can't ignore it because it keeps coming back and back, like these sharp piercing things. And you find yourself constantly wanting to squirm or move, or the mind is constantly in this kind of fear or tension of the pain. Then you can make it more focus on that. Just tell yourself to relax. And normally when we have a pain, actually, a pain is just millions of little sensations, vibrating and moving around. But we see it as kind of just a knot of pain, and there's this wall of resistance that comes up in the mind. Kind of, we don't want to look at it. But when you can train yourself just to observe it, you can see how it's just made up of many little sensations, heat and some stabbing sensations or other little sensations, and just observe it as a child would observe some ants crawling on the ground with kind of wonder, And that again helps to put a distance between the observation and the object of the observation. And so that can help you tolerate it a few more seconds or minutes. But we're not here to torture yourself. Meditation isn't self-torture. And so we have to just extend the length of time little by little that we can tolerate the pain. But at a certain point, if you need to, then you mindfully change the posture, make some slight adjustment to try to relieve that, and then come back to your breathing or the present moment of sitting, breathing, whatever, and continue. But the pain will come again. Pain is a fact of life, and it's always going to be there. But normally we're always trying to get rid of the pain very quickly because we have no tolerance for it. These are just habits that we've cultivated, and the same for other distractions. But when you learn to just observe it, you realize these pains are really not that big. Most of them are not life-threatening, and they're doable. If you learn to just observe the sensations, relax around it, you see they're impermanent, and they may be there in the background, but you can still carry on and keeping in touch with the sitting and breathing so that it will be there, but you can still feel a sense of centeredness and comfort held by the concentration, even while pains and other things are going around. And that is the real, the essential skill. And, the key for learning how to live in the midst of pain, you can still live comfortably without letting these pains and distractions and so on of life, beat you down like it does for a lot of people who are not mindful and who don't understand what is occurring in the body and mind. Anyway, we'll be talking more about these things as as we go on. But any other last question? Okay, so we're going to stand up now. And as we did last night, do a few minutes of some standing awareness and then a few little simple stretching exercises to loosen up the body, hopefully, or you get more awake. And then